Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Hermúdez Marín, allá donde se encuentra, y también
a todos Good afternoon. Nuestros hermanos y Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there where he is in, and also to all the ministers, brothers and sisters in different countries who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite today, Friday, October 10 of this year, 2025. Our subject is, Lord, what do you want me to do? It was preached on December 1st of 2000 in Osasco, Brazil. Let's read in the book of Acts, in chapter 26, verse 13 and on, and it says, At midday, O king, I saw in the way, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he draws another Star of David there, on the left. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee. And he draws a Star of David there on the left, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Lord, what do you want me to do? You may please be seated if you're so kind. Dr. William Soto tells us in the message, the revelation is always and will always be revealed in flesh and our responsibility. It tells us, now we have seen there that when the thunders utter their voices, then there will be a group who would be able to and would take the entire word and place it right. And then, by having it, every word, the entire message placed right, then they would be able to do whatever they want to do, because they would have total control over everything, because the power of God is in that little group. And since that little group knows how to place the word right, then they know the right way to use all the power that God has. That is on page 254, where he speaks about this group, which is, he writes, the elect. He says, Moses and Elijah, the elect. He writes there in the book of, one of the book of the seals. Let's read it to have it there in the study. Page 254. It says, Now, we had him coming last night with his great sword to kill. We find out that he gets killed with the sword too, the sword of the word. God's word, sharp two-edged sword, slays him. Put him right down. Wait till that seven thunders utter their voices to that group who really, and he writes there, Moses and Elijah with the elect, can take the word of God and hand it there. It'll slice and cut, and they can close the heavens. They can shut this and do that, whatever they want to. And how will they be able to carry that out? By placing the word right. It is not a matter of having the word. It is not simply saying, I have the messages, I have the word, I have the messages of Brother Branham, I have the message of Brother William, but now, what are you going to do with that? You have to know how to place that word the right way, so that it works. Otherwise, it won't work. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say, the power of God, fully, all the power is in the elect, in that little group. But we can only use, and we do use, only the portion of power according to what we know of the word. Look, even for our family members and on behalf of our family members. Now, in the message, question and answers, the one that was preached on August 30 of 64 in the morning, on page 31, they ask Brother Branham a question there. And let's see what question they ask him. It says, Brother Branham, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to know what to do. I am burdened for my family to be saved. He says, and the sister signed her name. Now Brother Branham says, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something, my dear sister, if you're here. And I, Brother Neville, is that a member of a church here at the bottom? And there he talks with Brother Neville. I don't remember them either. If you're here, Sister Bo, if you're here, let me tell you, the Bible said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake. You are so blessed to even want it. Look, even wanting that, that is already a blessing. See? Now, remember, not that you've got it, but blessed are they that hunger and thirst for it, for they shall be filled. For they shall be filled. Just stay right with it. What must I do for my family? Use the same faith that you're using for yourself, for your family. Commit them to the Lord and believe with all your heart that you're going to be saved. Don't let it come on your natural thinking here. Let it drop way down in the inside, that subconscious. Then they are yours. Meaning, to not live it in the conscious, let's say, but instead, it says, to let it come to the subconscious mind. There he writes, that is the soul. God gives them to you when you've got it down here. And he writes there, believe in the subconscious, the soul. See? Whatever you have in your heart here, and ask for it, when you pray, believe that you will receive what you ask for. Now, you cannot doubt it no more. You can't believe it and doubt it at the same time. How many knows that? You cannot believe and doubt at the same time. You have to believe what you ask for. You receive it, and then he said it would be given to you. So you just believe for your family, and they will get it. Now, Dr. William Soto continues saying here, in other words, the power of God can only be manifested according to what we have already placed right in terms of the Word of God. For example, we have the power of God fully in our midst, 100%. But that power doesn't work unless the Word of God is placed right, unless we have the revelation of that Word, of that message. What I was telling you just now, it is not enough to have the entire message. That's 100%. Now, placing that Word right, having the revelation of that Word, that's what's important. Now, look on page 114 of the Book of the Seals. It tells us, then, when the Lamb took the book and broke the first seal, God spoke from his eternal throne to say what that seal was to be revealed. But when it placed before John, it was in a symbol. When John saw it, it was still a mystery. Why? It wasn't even revealed right then. It cannot be revealed until what he said here at the end time. But it comes in a symbol. When the thundered, remember, a loud clapping noise of a thunder is the voice of God. That's what the Bible says. See? A clap of thunder. They thought it was a thunder, but it was God. He understood it, for it was revealed to him. See? It was a thunder. There on the left, from the top, at the start of that paragraph, starting from the top, he writes there to the left, eternal throne. Then at the bottom, still in the margin, a cornerstone and the edges without dividing them, only the bottom part. And then he writes symbol, then he writes in the form of symbols. In the form of symbols. He writes there, in the form of symbols. Then he writes, the thunder, the voice of God. And notice, the first seal opened, the first seal, when it was opened in a symbol form, and he writes symbol again on the left, it thundered. Now, what about when it's open in its reality form? My, it thundered as soon as the Lamb struck back the seal. And what did it reveal? Not all of itself. First, it's with God. Next, it's in symbols. Then it's revealed three things. There he numbers them below. God first is with God, and he writes one below. It's a symbol, and he writes two below. And then it's revealed, and he writes three above. Three things. See, it's coming forth from the throne. First, it cannot be seen, heard, or nothing. It's sealed up. The Lamb's blood paid the price. It thundered when he spoke it out. And when he did, a white horse rider started out. And it still was a symbol. Now watch. He said it would be known in the last day. But it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? It comes forth in a symbol of a church. Now, on the right, he writes, in reality. And he writes, opened. And he writes, future. That they know there's a seal, but just what it is, yet they don't know. Because it's a white horse rider. And only it is to be revealed at the last day, when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Now, notice now. And on the right, he writes there, the book for the bride, and he draws a cornerstone. And on the left, he writes future, and he draws a star of David, and a cornerstone, and the ages. And further up, he writes open. And on top, look, he writes there, when the actual seal is open, the book of the seven seals open for the church. And also in the red one, look, at the top there, or on the left upwards, he writes, the seals open, not for Christ, but for the church. Now, notice, he's speaking to us here about that percentage of power. Now he's going to tell us about how much the human being has. But here he's speaking about the message. The human being has a 10% of, notice, out of 100%, he only uses 10%, meaning a 10% conscious. Now look. In terms of the message, he says, therefore, now he's going to speak in terms of the message, it says, therefore, if you have the revelation of the message and you have 10% of that message of the hour placed right, then with that 10% that you have, you can only use 10% of the power of God. You see? That is the only thing you can manifest. Now, that is what he speaks to us about Einstein. There on page 159 from the Book of Quotations. Notice what he tells us here. Page 159, paragraph 14:17. It says, if Einstein had only had the spiritual application as he had the physical application, as he studied the law of light and so forth, he could have told us something. When I heard his message on that great center somewhere into the skies that ever contacted with that center, there we see something about the will against within the will. We're going to see something about it later. You could create earths, do anything, and there he draws a star of David there to the right. The power will be unlimited. See? He had seen that. And on top he writes, UFOs, the adoption. And he also writes there, Einstein and the law of light. And there is also a place here, on page 55, paragraph 476, from the Book of Quotations. And it tells us, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. See, everything is in there. The 100% is there. But now, what is the way and the manner in which you can use all the power? Now, look. He goes on to say, God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. There you are. But it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. What we need today is not to pray for more power. You got enough power to make a new earth. What you need is faith to use that power. What you need is control that life and live such a godly life that when you ask God anything, you know, we have confidence in God of that. And he draws a Star of David there on the left, and he writes, faith. Further up, he also draws a Star of David there. A bit below the paragraph on the left, he draws a Star of David. And on top, he writes, revelation. Faith to use the power. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, it is like, let's say, for example, a faucet, like the kind we use in the sink, and in the bathroom, and in the shower. Well, if you only open that faucet 10%, a little bit, only a bit of water can come out of there. Even though all the water is there, all the water there is, all the pressure is there. But the only amount, the percentage that can come out, it depends on how many times you turn that faucet. Now, that is, remember, the will within the will. Let's see there in the message, the entombment. What Reverend William Branham tells us on page 13, what he starts saying about the prophets, he is speaking about the time of Abraham, about the time of Daniel. Now he says in the part where he talks about Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel looks over the top and said, I seen that same person as a wheel in the middle of the wheel, turning way up in the middle of the air. Oh my! Then up comes Enoch. Enoch said, I saw him coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. He writes there on the right upwards, a wheel in the middle of another wheel. Now we're going to see who that wheel is. In the message that day on Calvary, look, on page 18, Reverend William Branham tells us, he was the very lamb that Abel had in mind. When he seen the promised seed of the woman, he was the lamb that Daniel saw that was hewed out of the mountain without hands. He was the wheel in the middle of the wheel for the prophet. All they had foresaw was met on that day, that day on Calvary, that brought the great thing in, that broke the back of Satan. On the right, halfway through the paragraph, he draws a Star of David. And towards the top, he writes, the cornerstone. And on the left upwards, he writes, the wheel within the wheel. And on the front, look, in a note, he writes, the wheel within the wheel is Christ, is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is that wheel. Now look, he goes on to say here, and that's also how it is in terms of the power of God, according to the revelation that you have in that word, according to what you have already placed right. If you have placed it right, if you've turned the word right, which is Christ, which is the Messiah, which is the Anointed One, and have placed 10% right, and have placed a 10% right, then only 10% of the pressure of the power of God will come out of that faucet. Nothing else can come out. It tells us in the message, Going Beyond the Camp, on page 27, Reverend William Branham says, those apostles stood there just as stern. They couldn't explain how they was going to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They couldn't understand how he ever came down when he's been right there with them all the time. He couldn't explain it. The people couldn't explain it. Nobody could explain it. But Peter made those notable words. No wonder he gave him the keys. And he writes there on the left, Peter. He said, Lord, who would we go to? We are persuaded. We know that you and you alone are the vindication of the promised word today. We know that thou alone has the word of life. We cannot explain those things, but we believe it anyhow. We believe it anyhow. And he draws a cornerstone there on the left, and above he writes, "You have the word of life." Little Martha said, "My brother is dead. He is laying in the grave. He's rotten. He's stinking. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you." Oh my. And there he draws a cornerstone to the left. And he said, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She said, "Yeah, Lord, I can't explain it, but I believe it." See, there she was being a part of that wheel, and one wheel was coming together with another wheel there. Notice, that is, she starts to be blessed even before obtaining it. The scripture we read at the beginning, where he quoted, it's a blessing, Brother Branham says there, when that person asked for the Holy Spirit. She was already blessed even before receiving it. Look. Now, he goes on to say, she said, "Yeah, Lord, I cannot explain it, but I believe it." That's why you need to believe first, to be able to understand, to be able to receive what you are requesting. You need to believe first. I cannot explain it, but I believe it. I believe that you're the Christ that was come into the world. I believe by the noted scriptures that you meet the qualifications of that. Said, "Where have you buried him?" Oh my, something has to happen. Every wheel is coming right together at the right time. See? How beautiful, right? And there on the right, towards the top, he writes, "The wheel. He walked down to the grave. The Bible said, no beauty we should desire him. Probably a little stoop-shouldered fellow stood with the little shoulders down, tired and weary from walking." On the left, he writes, "Jesus, little." He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man that had been dead for 4 days stood on his feet. In the message, the third Exodus, he also speaks to us there on page 16. And Reverend William Branham tells us there, look, he says, didn't Jesus say that the two would be so close together it would deceive the very elect if it was possible? The intellectual talks would be so smooth that it would deceive the people. It's gospel. It's men who can handle that word in such a way that he could almost make any intellectual person, if you're just trusting their intellectuals, they would condemn the Holy Spirit and take the way of the man. We see that. Now, that's the same thing they thought about Joseph. And they got rid of him. And, oh, down in Egypt, oh, how we can think, how I could spend hours. You could stay here for 3 years and never leave that subject day and night and still be finding the great kernels of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual mind can look down in Egypt and see that persecution rise, can see Joseph taken away in order that the persecution could rise, and then see God with his wheel in the wheels, everything moving around just perfectly, see Potiphar reject Joseph, see that lie told, and see Joseph in the prison, and his beard is growed out, excommunicated from his brethren, but then, all of a sudden, God moved in. See? How we can see that wheel in the wheels moving? God's great plan, moving everything up to this Exodus, to this time when he would call his people back in the land again, back in the place, in position where he could bless them and place among them the one that he promised he would place among them. And he writes there, the wheel inside the wheel. That's on the left. They had to be in their land. Remember, now, the church bride has to be in her land, in the age of the cornerstone, to Look, remember, they had to come out of the land that they were in and get into the land of promise before their promised Messiah could ever come. And the church has to do the same thing. Get out of that group of rejectors over into the promise before the Messiah can ever be manifested before them. And he writes on the left, get out, enter, get out. Get out of the dispensation of grace and enter the dispensation of the kingdom. Notice, and on the right he draws a Star of David, and upwards he writes for the Messiah to manifest himself to his church. How? As Son of Man, as King of Kings, as Claimer. You see it? The life of the Messiah manifested, making a church ready, a bride. That's why on page 256 it says, but when our Lord appears here on earth, he'll come on a snow-white horse, and he'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. That is the manifestation of the Messiah, of the Anointed One, to his church in that new land, in the age of the cornerstone. You see it? The life of the Messiah manifested, making a church ready, a bride, a woman marry a man, and disagreeing with him? It would be some kind of a fuss continually, but when a man and his wife, his girlfriend, his spouse, when they are in perfect harmony, like one soul and one mind, because they are going to be one flesh, then, when the church can get in such harmony with God until the manifestation of the bridegroom is manifested in the bride, because they are going to be one, oh, what a great lesson, right? Now remember, that is the will within and in the will. Now remember, the spiritual mind picking this up can see the type and the anti-type and pick it. For one, just we could go hours on it. Watch what takes place. And why have we waited all these years since this oasis of time? You know, the Bible speaks that. The church fled into the wilderness. And he writes Revelation 12 on the right, where she was nourished for time and time. And why has all this been? That we, an ellipsis, see? It's still God's will in the wheels, and he writes there on the right, the will. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, if you've placed it right, or that small group of, which you already know who that small group is, if you have 25% placed right, then 25% of the power of God will come forth from there. It will come forth from where? It will come forth from that small group, because you know that the outlet for God's power at this time and in all times is the group of God's elect for this time. So God's power will come from that group. If they have 25% of that word placed right, 25% of the power of God will come forth from that little group. When they have the 50% of the power of God will come forth. And when you have 100%, there will be no limits. The power of God will then come forth in all its fullness, and there will be total control. Control over the earth, the air, heaven, all of that will be controlled by the power of God manifested by that small group. Look, in the message, Christ is revealed in his own word on page 44. Reverend William Branham tells us, he says, so we see the evening light here. And what does it do to have light? If you don't have any eyes to see how to get around in it, what is the evening light? The light comes on to reveal something. And there he draws a Star of David there to the left. And he also writes upwards, the light comes forth to reveal something. Is that right? If there is something here you feel and you cannot understand what it is in the darkness, then turn the light on. It is to reveal. What's Malachi 4 to do? See? Do the same thing. What was the opening of the seventh seal to do? Were all these denominations staggering around in this? Is to reveal, bring out. If you haven't got any eyes, then what's the use to reveal? He draws a Star of David there on the right. There has to be eyes first to see, and those are the ministers of Moses and Elijah. Is that right? To reveal, Malachi 4 reveals Saint Luke 17:30, Saint Luke 14:12, and also John 15:24, 16:13, and also to reveal Revelation 10:1-7, the opening of the seventh seal and the seventh angel's message to open up to reveal when the evening lights come. And on the left, he writes, in the west. Now, if a man, in the Laodicean age, the people were what? Naked. Are they? Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leads the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties of mental, spiritual understanding, see? Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures and more than lovers of God, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't believe in it. See, they don't believe in such things as prophets, and so they don't believe in it. They believe that Malachi 4 is to be a certain church or a certain organization. When he come the first time, he was a man. When he come in the second time with a double portion, he was a man. When he come in the form of John the Baptist, he was a man. See, in the last days, when the evening lights begin to shine, eyes will become open and you'll see where you're going. And there on the left, he draws a Star of David, and on top he writes, Elijah, Elisha, because God always works through a prophet. Surely the Lord would do nothing without first revealing his secrets to his servants, his prophets. Amos 3:7. Then the body is already formed, standing upon its feet, taking motion, moving by the Holy Spirit. And there he draws another Star of David on the left, and he writes, and he draws also on the right a cornerstone in the ages. What? The same one that moved upon the prophets and wrote the Bible, the same Holy Ghost moving in the body filled with the Holy Spirit, moved in the Holy Ghost, out of every organization, every kindred, tongue, and people. And he writes on the left, upwards, spiritually open eyes. A little lady here, she don't belong in this organization, or this organization, belong in this congregation. She comes from somewhere here. And she comes in this morning, got a picture there. She was, give it to my son, who was very much astonished. I don't know whether she ever heard this or not. I don't know. She had a picture of this angel of the Lord that was on the seven church ages, seven seals opened out there. When it did, said, looked back through here, and she seen that standing in the sky in a dream, and she looked back through there and seen that, seen somebody in white marching forward and behind it, said it looked, said, Brother Branham, it was you. And he writes, Elijah, and said, marched in there, said, behind you was people of different colors, packing banners, Georgia, Alabama, all different kind of places, marching forward, coming up into the headship to where Christ was being revealed into the vision. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right. Oh, hallelujah. We are in the last days and in the last hours of the day. Do you see him now in his word and all his word made manifest right here before us? O Church of the Living God, get on your feet. Believe him with all that's in you. Hold on that little wheel. And there he draws a circle, and within the circle, another smaller circle. Hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel. Let it stabilize every move and every motion that you make, every thought that you have. May it be controlled by this tower in the inside of you, because God is setting right in his word of this hour. In the evening light, showing forth the light. Now remember, on page 115 of the Book of the Seals, where it says, overcome, how to overcome the Antichrist? He says, overcome all the things of the world. Now, it continues to say here, the blindness of a bat, you could turn on a light and the bat would be so blind he couldn't fly. A hoot owl, all those night prowlers and things like that, roaches and things, cannot see in the daytime. They don't know what it's all about. That is why when he said, turn on the light and cockroaches and all those insects scatter away, a scattering, because they cannot be in the light. And he writes on the left, the evening light. They cannot see. And the evening light has come on. Every parable, everywhere we go, to nature, to the Bible, to the statue of Mel, the Daniel saw, and the king of that day, all of them saw. And all these things, everybody, every form, every move, every place in the body positionally shows us the very hour that we are living in. Not another move can come above it. There was a move of the hand, charity, Wesley. There was a move of foundation, Luther, charity. There was never a greater. It was called the Wesley move. They sent missionaries to all the world, one of the greatest moves that was made in the age before that. Then come the Pentecostal age, then come in the different fingers and things, the Pentecostal age of tongues and nose and so forth. Now it's in the eyes. What good will you need eyes or need light if that eyes wasn't there to see? There has to be eyes first to see, and then when that come, he opened the seventh seal and revealed the evening light, taking all the mysteries that's been hid down through these church ages and now revealed them as he promised to do in Revelation 10:1-7. And on the left, look, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and there on the cornerstone he draws two eyes. He draws an eye inside the cornerstone and an eye outside on the right, and he writes eyes. And on the right of the paragraph there, he writes Zechariah 14. He made the drawing there on the left. Here we are today sitting in the midst of the Word, and the Word being revealed to us by Jesus Christ. Then, this is God's Word. Now notice, those eyes at the age of the cornerstone are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. There is a writing here in the back where he says, the wheel, let's see the writing to have it, the wheel within the wheel. He writes there, on a note there, on the back. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, the prophet said, I have seen the hand of the Lord, the mighty hand of the Lord manifested five times. You already know, when he stopped the storm, that was the Lord's hand manifested. But how was it manifested? Through human flesh, through one who had the word. What? 100% placed right. He had placed it right. 100%. And then the power of God could be fully manifested in, through him. Now, here, in this message that we read, let's see something here. Because here on page 45, in the one that we read, look, where he says, the power of revelation, they don't even believe in it. Now notice that one needs to believe. That is why he said there that they were blessed even before receiving it. I am searching for a note here that he also wrote to us, where he tells us about the devil, that he can impersonate anything, but he cannot bring the word, of course, the revelation. It's here in this same book of Christ is revealed in his own word. Here it is. It says, Satan can impersonate any gift, but he cannot bring the word, because the word, the revelation, only comes to the prophet. What he says here in the book of the ages, on page 265, the edited version, Reverend William Branham tells us, as we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messenger of each age. They receive from him the revelation of the word for each period. This word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shine with the borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in the darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to his people. Notice, the messengers of each age and each dispensation are the ones who receive that revelation, who receive the word. Now look, let's continue a bit further on in this message that we're reading from Dr. William Soto. Not everyone understands how necessary it is to say what the messenger has said, and some people come out saying things that are not correct, things that the messenger has not said, or that do not mean what the messenger has actually said. They start to give their own interpretation. That is what Reverend William Branham also tells us there on page 168 of the Book of the Ages. He says, he that has an ear, let him singular hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age, addresses himself to the only one person relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age, and that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages there on the right, both true and false. The message is then broadcast to all. But though it is broadcast for all who come within range of the message, that message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. And he writes prophetic insight on the right. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. And he writes there on the right, revelation by the angel. See, a bit further on, look, on 119 he says, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. Here, on the right, in this book, he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and he numbered them. 1 to 7, the ages, and 8 inside the cornerstone. Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? They add here, or take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of His messenger and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. And He draws a cornerstone there and the ages on the left. And here on the right, He also draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, but despite that, the word spreads through the ministers. It comes from God to the prophets, and through the prophet, and from the prophet it goes to the ministers, who are the ones in charge of moving that word forward, that is, of spreading that word, that message. That is why each congregation must have a minister who is at the head and who knows how to place the word right. How is it placed right? Well, by placing and putting for them what God is doing at this time, which were the instructions from years ago telling us, tune in with the tent there, and from there, even the devotionals, the praises. In other words, the minister then in each country placing the word right means having the people looking towards the great tent. But it, that congregation, always has to have a minister leading to watch for that people, but he has to place the word right. If you're a minister who doesn't do that, then why are you going to that congregation? Go where there is a minister who is placing the word right at this time. Now look, anyone could say, but this minister is like this or like that. Look, God placed him there, and God then works through him, and he helps him to also continue preparing himself because he is human like you as well. We cannot judge him. Now, he will be accountable if he made someone, a sheep, an elect, stumble. Therefore, the ministers are the ones whom God require more of, because they are being given a lot, but a lot is required of them as well. Therefore, we help one another to continue moving forward, and we don't look at each other's faults. Instead, we see that he is an elect, and that he is preparing himself at this end time, getting everything in order to be ready to receive all the promises. They even said Jesus was not the person because of the way he was, or because what he spoke, and it was so common that they said he was a madman, a Samaritan, has devils, and a bunch of things. They called him Beelzebub. Now notice how Brother Branham, there's the scriptures that we were looking for on Sunday. There are several places where he tells us about that. But the one that I was searching for was the one that it's in the book of the message, the mighty God unveiled before us. It is in that one. We found it later that same day, where he, look, it says on page of this version, it's page 2. Page 2 says, starting at the bottom of page 1, even Jesus was considered a heretic. That's right, Martin Luther was a nut to the Catholic Church, and John Wesley was a nut to the Anglican. So you know, it's about time for another nut. Look, don't you think so? But before there could be a nut, you know, there has to be a bolt first to thread it to it. So you know, Noah, being a nut, he takes the nut, it pulls the bolt, pulls something together, and holds something together. There is the will within the will. See, Noah was able to pull all that would believe, that's the people, into the ark out of the judgment, by being a knot. Oh, how tremendous, right? We find out that Moses pulled the church out of Egypt by being a knot. That's right. I think that we need a knot now to pull the bride out of the church. We need something now. And he writes above, today, that is, on a note on the back, today we need another knot to pull the bride out of the church. Meaning, out of the dispensation of grace, and to place her, the church bride, in the age of the cornerstone. Now, Dr. Soto goes on to say here, But despite that, the word spreads through the ministers. It comes from the from God to the prophets, and through the prophets, and from the prophets it goes to the ministers, who are the ones in charge of moving that word forward. Whoever moves it forward and bring it the wrong way will have to answer to God for that. Whoever moves it forward the right way will receive the reward from the Lord. And I believe that, do you know what is one of the greatest rewards from the Lord? Is allowing a preacher to take the word the right way, having the people that he has taught, having them 100% with the word placed right, and seeing the power of God manifested through the group he has taught. That is a great privilege. Now let's look carefully at how the word moved in the midst of the ministers. It came to the prophet, but from the prophet it goes on to the ministers, and from the ministers it goes to the congregation. But it has to be noticed, a minister who plays it right. How? Well, by showing them who the messenger of that time is, and by spreading that message exactly the way it is given, not giving his own interpretation. And look, he even said, tune in with Puerto Rico starting from the devotional. In other words, there is no way to add anything to that which is being brought at this time. That is why we already know what we have to do at this time. That question is already answered. Lord, what do you want me to do? That question has been answered. Let us stand and thus live with this subject. Lord, what do you want me to do? Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.